Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've already been listening, that makes you a highly intelligent individual. You know what I think about that? I'm excited about Jack Oldrich being back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. He's the president of Nano Veritas Group. Jack is the leading voice in America on nanotechnology today. He's written a number of things on it. I'm holding the new book in my hand, Investing in Technology, but we first met him through his book, The Next Big Thing is Really Small. But he's also an outstanding author and expert on leadership. He's also written a book on Lewis and Clark called Into the Unknown, and an outstanding piece on George Marshall that he has written since then. But we're here to talk today with him about nanotechnology and how to invest in nanotechnology. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. You're always welcome on this show. Now, a while back, a couple of years ago, maybe more, you introduced us, basically. I mean, not that we'd never heard of it before, but you really gave us, over a few visits, you really gave us a pretty good sense of what nanotechnology is. And now you're back today to talk to us about some of the investment opportunities in nanotechnologies. But before we get into that, let's talk about, remind us about what nanotechnology is for those who may not have heard about it. Or if they have, maybe they just didn't understand completely what it is. It's not completely, depending on how much of a techie you are, it's not completely intuitive. So tell us what nanotechnology is.
That's right. There are two definitions, Jim. The first one is it's the manipulation of atoms and molecules. It might sound a little complicated, but the easiest way to think of this is think of a lump of coal and a diamond ring. They're both made out of the exact same thing, carbon atoms. But how those atoms are arranged matters greatly. One's just a cheap energy source. The other's suitable for an engagement ring. Well, you know, when I was talking about nanotechnology a few years ago, I said on this program, we weren't at the point where we can manufacture diamonds. Well, we now are, and there are companies who are essentially growing diamond, 2-carat diamonds, for less than $100, and they are more flawless than the diamonds we mine out of nature.
That's actually a big controversy right now with the diamond industry, isn't it?
Is. And that's one of the, you know, it's one of the opportunities of investing in nanotechnology, but you also have to understand there are some dangers because the diamond industry isn't going to take this line down. And so
they're pretty well funded, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And in my book, I talk about, you know, both these opportunities and how, as well as how the diamond industry will try to react and how they might be able to even thwart these small startup companies. So, There's a lot to know in the field.
Go ahead.
The second definition is just a nanometer is really small. It's 1/1 billionth of a meter. This is incredibly small, but the reason it's so important is that we're now developing devices just a couple of nanometers in size that are so small they can go into individual cancer cells. And so there are companies working on devices that are going to be able to detect cancer at the earliest stages and kill that cancer before you even know you have the cancer. So that, again, there's some really exciting opportunities.
So maybe we could have like little nano suicide bombers?
Well, that's essentially what they would be.
Maybe so maybe suicide bomber becomes a good thing in some cases.
That's right. But here's what they do. They will just latch on to individual cancer cells. They have unique branches. And then the second branch sort of has a Trojan horse device or some food that the cell thinks is friendly food. allows the device in, and then on the third branch of this device is a drug molecule that will just kill that individual cancer cell. So it's nothing mechanical in your body sort of floating around. It's just a, what we would call a sort of a smart device that can do a couple of different things.
But it's kind of hard to get what you just described, something as small as a cell, and think of it as a device.
It really is, and that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, for investors, is that they're going to have to start thinking completely differently, because as a result of nanotechnology and our ability to put atoms and molecules together like Lego blocks, essentially, companies are talking about growing computer chips in the future, or growing batteries. And essentially what they're doing is they're just getting every molecule to line up exactly as they want it. And so
And folks, if you're wondering what's the next killer app, Jack just told you. Quick break. We're going to take a quick one, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're visiting with Jack Oldrich. He's the author of the brand new book, Investing in Nanotechnology. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Steely Dan for you. Your name and lots above it. Great band. Great songs. Welcome back. 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Jack Oldrich. He's the author of the new book, Investing in Nanotechnology. Jack is the America, if not the world's leading voice on technology. On nanotechnology. He talks about this all the time. Writes extensively about it. This is the second book on nanotechnology. And Jack, I wanted to bring sort of some of the things that our audience may have seen on television into the discussion a little bit to help them understand about nanotechnology a little bit more. There's a commercial by IBM where two guys are in a truck, in a semi-truck, and they almost run over a woman who's sitting in the middle of the road at a desk. And when they screech to a halt, one of the guys says, "What are you doing in the middle of the road?" She says, "You're lost." He said, "How did you know we're lost?" She says, "The boxes told me." And so then the guy looks back at his buddy and says, "The boxes told her we're lost." And the guy says, "Maybe the boxes should drive." And so what they're talking about, they don't say it in the commercial, but what they're talking about is RFID, radio frequency identification, which is which is a form of nanotechnology, isn't it?
That's right, and nanotechnology will enable the RFID tags to get even smaller, even more powerful, and even cheaper, so that right now the tags might just be on the pallets of the crates that the truck is driving, but soon they're going to be in individual packages, and they're going to be virtually everywhere.
And I was just going to say, what happened, folks, is literally somebody at a headquarters can tell where those boxes are because of radio frequencies by the boxes picking up radio frequencies.
That's right. You know, I wish your listeners, Jim, could see. I just wrote an article about an IBM nanotechnology development, and they've essentially already developed a chip that is 10 times smaller than a human hair. And it's just incredible how small these computer chips are getting. And it's only the tip of the iceberg. We're only going to be able to make them ever smaller.
Where is that article?
The article is on an investment newsletter called The Motley Fool.
Oh, yeah, we've heard about those guys. But so it's not available on your website or anything?
Oh, it is, yeah, on nanonovus.com, nanonovus.com.
And nanonovus.com.
Yeah.
All right, check that out, folks.
And I should tell you, it's the corresponding website to my book, because the book's already been published, but this field is moving so fast that I give my writer or the people who've bought the book, and you don't even have to buy the book to come and see the daily updates.
I appreciate that. Now, Investing in Nanotechnology is available right now, right, wherever books are sold?
Yeah, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, right, most major right. bookstores.
Check that out. All right, so what are the investment? Give us some examples of back to the truck and maybe the boxes should drive. You think that one day nanotechnology will help the boxes drive, don't you?
I really do. I'm not sure if you remember this, but a couple of years ago, Hewlett-Packard was running a commercial, and they said, we're Hewlett-Packard, we're working on nanotechnology, and because of nanotechnology, we're going to have light bulbs that never burn out, cars that can think and drive themselves, shirts that can give you the directions, you know, and then they throw in this kicker. They go, cell phones so small an ant could use them. Now, you're probably thinking, well, what does an ant need a cell phone for? But, you know, Hewlett-Packard's vision is they want to embed these little chips in the carpet, in your wallpaper, so you don't even need a physical phone. Mm-hmm. So that's where things are going. But I do
That sounds a little weird to me, Jack, to be honest with you. I don't want my carpet talking to me, but that makes me a fossil. Okay, now here's the thing. Here's what I want to talk about the rest of the time. Let's talk about investing in this stuff. And there really are two ways to think about investing in nanotechnology, Jack, it seems to me, or investing in a world where there's nanotechnology. One is investing in nanotechnology and not investing in the things that nanotechnology are going to render obsolete.
That's absolutely right, and that's a very astute question, and you're the first person who's ever asked it, because that's the exact way you should be thinking about nanotechnology.
I'm afraid I have that kind of mind, Jack.
Well, good for you. That even if, you know, you don't want to invest in new emerging technologies, you have to understand nanotechnology, because it's going to disrupt existing business models. Going back to that earlier example of the diamond company, that today De Beers or some of the other giant diamond companies might look like good, solid, safe investments. But if you understand the disruptive nature of Apollo Diamond, which is one of the companies who's, you know, growing the new diamonds, suddenly that investment in De Beers doesn't look as solid for the long term.
Well, and you were talking about the boxes driving. If the boxes can drive, the boxes can talk to other boxes. And folks, I'm using boxes as a metaphor here. Can talk to other boxes and not run into each other. What would that, if that can happen 30 years from now? What would that do to the insurance industry? What would that do to the collision industry, et cetera, et cetera?
That's right. And, you know, the other way, a lot of the applications, really exciting applications, are coming is on the healthcare side. Mm-hmm. And what we're moving towards is nanotechnology. Right today, the healthcare industry makes trillions of dollars treating disease after it has happened.
Mm-hmm.
The future is going to be preventing disease from ever occurring in the first place.
And also, exactly. And maybe we need less surgeons in the future to cut things out. Because the nanotechnology went in there and grabbed a hold of one of these cells and said, you're coming with me. And we're going to take a quick break. It's 10-10. We'll be right back with Jack Oldrick. Exciting stuff that he brings us. Stand by. Welcome back. It's 7-0. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to check out our blog, and don't forget to check, and by the way, that blog is not like anybody else's blog, and I know you wouldn't expect anything different from me, but it's not a regular blog, folks. It's different, and you're going to have to go see. I'm going to pique your interest a little bit by just telling you that. And hopefully I will, and you'll go check it out. I'll give you a little hint. It's a multimedia blog, and there are not too many of those out there. Jack Oldrick is our guest, and he's going to be on the blog today. Actually, he's not there yet. He's almost there. He will be right after we go off the air. But Jack is a very prolific guy, a very prolific author, writes on some very important things, and I've learned so much from him, especially in the area of nanotechnology, as he's been a member of our Brain Trust. And Jack, I really appreciate the time that you're putting into this topic and the way that you're making it available for regular folks like me to learn about it.
Well, my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity you give me to reach more listeners.
Well, that's what we want to try to do. And you know, Jack, we're talking about, and by the way, folks, the new book is called Investing in Nanotechnology. And you talk in the book about over 100 companies who are investing in nanotechnology. And folks, small business owners have got to need to know about this. This is not just about Jack and I use the examples of IBM, and Jack brought up Hewlett Packard and all that. This is not just about big business. This is also about small business. And you know, Jack, one example I was going that obviously is a little bit of a tired example, but it's appropriate. When I said a minute ago about not investing in certain things. 100 years ago, investing in buggy whips would not have been a good idea, would it?
No, that's exactly right. And
there are a lot of buggy whip industries out there right now, aren't there?
There are. I have an entire chapter in my book, what I call the disruptors, and these are small startup companies who threaten very big, successful businesses. Mm-hmm. And I point out which businesses, you know, might go the way of the big the buggy whip.
And they're going to be shifting some paradigms, aren't they?
Yeah. But, you know, I really want to get back to the small business owner. And,
right.
And I've been doing this, you know, today there are companies who are putting nano fibers in pants, and they make them stain and spill resistant. But now it's a wonderful technology, and the pants cost about $3 or $4 more than regular ones. But if you're in the dry cleaning industry, as more and more fabrics incorporate these fibers, your business is going to drop off. Or there are new GM just made the 2005 Chevy Impala all out of a nano composite. It's scratch resistant and dent resistant. Now, if you're an automobile repair shop, as more and more companies start using this material, there aren't going to be as many fender benders in the future. And it's just these little changes that might have big impacts on a variety of businesses. And in my book, I point out all of these opportunities and threats.
Right. Well, and also there are things like the RFID. If I had to say one thing that's going to impact small businesses the quickest, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, because you're the expert and I'm not, but just my instincts tell me that RFID is going to be the first thing that's really going to enter the world of most small businesses. What do you think?
I do think that, because on these RFID chips,
frequency identification.
You're going to have processing power. You're going to have data storage. You're also going to have a diagnostic detection sort of ability. And then, of course, you'll have the communication ability. So these little chips are going to be able to process, store, and transmit a wealth of information. And businesses can use those to squeeze ever greater efficiencies out of you know, their products in the marketplace.
And so if you're a small company selling, manufacturing or assembling or whatever, a product for a larger company, and they're using RFID, one of these days if you haven't already, you're going to get a letter or a phone call or an email or an instant message that says, hey, we need to talk about RFID. What do you know about it? Will it take your company to be able to be compatible with our RFID requirements?
Yep, that's absolutely right. As you probably said, you know, Walmart, Gillette, Target, they're already, you know, this is in there, you know, they're already employing it, and
right.
I think that they will sort of force the small business community, if you want to do business with some of these bigger businesses, to get compatible.
Jack, we got to wrap it up. This has been fascinating. We got to get you back home. We got more to talk about. Will you come back?
Absolutely, Jim.
Thank you very much. Give us the website again, please.
NanoNovas.com.
All right. The book is called Investing in Technology. Jack Oldrich. Thank you, Jack, for being here. Good job. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.